Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. Powered by Lloyd's Electric. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam. Cody, you look sharp. You look good.
Thanks, John. It's good to be here today. It's good to be anywhere.
It's weird watching the Periscope. We're on like a minute delay.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just weird. It's like I'm in Scream and I'm in the security van and I'm watching inside the house and I see the killer coming and then I'm like, oh, kids, get out of there. But it's a minute delay, so then I open up the van and then boom, I'm stabbed because the killer's out of the house and spoiler alert, in front of the van.
He's already killed the kids.
Well, no, the kids are already out, but he found you. And then you open the van and thought he was in the house, but it was a minute delay, so boom, you got stabbed.
I don't remember the plot from Scream very well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a guy running around killing people.
Yeah, basically every scary movie.
Well, this one's better than most, but either way.
They're all the same.
This one kind of revitalized the slasher genre. No big deal.
Did the slasher need to be revitalized?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, because it had really died from the early 80s, late 70s, you know, with the Halloween and Friday the 13th. None of those were the first one's good, but the rest of them all suck, you know. Ready, but then like kind of needed a reboost, a reimagining. It was a good hip adaptation by Wes Craven, one of my favorite movies.
So what were they doing in the meantime if the slasher wasn't?
I think they kept trying to do slasher films, but that was the problem. They had gotten stale. It was just sequel after sequel after sequel type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were kind of like, you know, just the, I don't want to call them paranormal, but like freaks, if you will. You know, Freddy, obviously, a demon in your nightmares or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Voorhees, like, deformed hockey guy. Michael Myers, deformed. You know, like it wasn't, like, real people doing the slashing. Mm-hmm. And Scream, it's real people doing the slashing. They just wear a mask.
No.
You get it? It's the human element?
Sure.
Yeah.
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 I
didn't
want to
start talking about Scream either. I was just noticing as I was retweeting the Periscope that it still had our casual conversation from before the show on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it's like a minute delay because I mean, we were just kicked back. I was complimenting your shirt. You were asking me my favorite Pink Floyd songs, and that's where I was watching.
We were discussing The Wall.
Yeah.
Like a couple of music experts would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great conversation.
How are you today? You good?
Well, I'm okay. Let's see. Any updates? Do I have any updates on my life? I got my guitar fixed yesterday.
I saw your tweet.
My electric guitar had not been working for a couple weeks, so I went to get it fixed. It actually ended up only costing me $15.
Congratulations.
I thought it would be a much more detailed fix, but it was an easy fix.
Okay. I don't know much about guitars and guitar maintenance, so I don't know how much I would have thought it would be, but congratulations on getting it cheaper.
Yeah, I went home and played a concert for Rick.
What'd you play?
As soon as I got it fixed. Mainly the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Five strings, open G tuning. No use for the low E string at all.
How did it go for Rick? Was he...
He actually complimented me.
Yeah?
He said it was very good.
That do some mending between you two?
What do you mean? I mean, we're fine. What do you mean, mending?
Oh, okay. Just...
We're fine.
Okay. Did that do any building with you two?
I think a little bit. Yeah.
Bonding, yeah. I guess?
We didn't really bond.
No?
He was in his room. I was in my room. But he was doing his homework, and he said he turned off what he was watching on the TV so he could hear me play.
Oh, wow. It's a real breakthrough for you
two. Yeah. He said, I knew you played a little bit, man, but I didn't realize you could shred like that.
He said shred?
He did use the term shred.
Were you shredding, in your opinion?
No.
Yeah.
No, I was not shredding.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to play all those like complicated solos and stuff. To me, that's shredding.
So you're just strumming a little bit.
Well, no, I mean, I was playing. When it's electric, it sounds
more like shredding.
It sounds a lot tougher.
Sure.
Especially when you're playing those riffs.
It's hard to feel like you're shredding an acoustic guitar.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard. There's some guys that could.
No, there's guys that can.
Yeah, like Jim Croce.
Yeah, I was going to say that one guy I went to see at the Bijou a month ago, that Billy Strings guy, he could shred.
Yeah.
He was out there just picking his heart right. out. Like, it's a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
I feel like if you just have an electric guitar, if you just hit a couple of fast notes, it feels like you're shredding.
The thing is, the way that I play just sounds dirty. It sounds like I'm shredding because of the tuning. It's not standard tuning. It's open. So anytime you just strum it, you could do this. You could play a G chord. Knowing nothing about the guitar, you take the pick and you hit the open strings. It's a G chord. So it's open G tuning. That's what all the Stone stuff is written in. So you can get these nasty riffs. It sounds like you're shredding, but you're really not.
It's quite simple.
It's very simple.
So all the Rolling Stone stuff is actually like really easy and simple?
A lot of the guitar parts are very simple, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You've always acted like Keith was such a good guitar
he's
player.
He's not technically like, he's not playing a bunch of solos like Jimi Hendrix. He was innovative. That's the whole thing with Keith.
Okay.
He basically created this, the riff, like when you hear.
I don't really care.
It's hard to explain. Yeah. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Only smooth brains, you know. Only rough brains understand.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're messing up.
The smooths don't understand all this. Yeah. So.
I'm not saying I don't understand it. I was just saying I don't care. There's a difference.
Mm.
It had wore past the level I cared. It got too skewed to the other side.
Well, maybe I should play for you.
Yeah, you can bring your guitar in and play some concerts sometime.
I would play
the audience a concert in the off season. Maybe write some songs.
I've written some songs.
I just mean about like the show and sports things.
Not like love not songs.
Like, yeah, like things. Anything that's going to tap into like. Anything too serious.
Emotion.
Yeah. Singing a song to a lover or...
I'll sing one to you. Pretend you're the lover.
Okay.
Just serenade you. See if it does anything for you.
Okay. Maybe. I'm sure the audience would love to hear it.
I like the idea of getting a fan-run band together.
I don't.
We've got two guitar players.
Who's the other guitar player?
Russell. He's a lead guitar player.
Russell plays guitar?
Yeah, Russell can shred.
Yeah?
Like, actually shred.
He's never mentioned that.
So he would be the lead guitar. I'd be the rhythm guitar. Brandon can play the bass. Houston can play the drums.
Houston's a drummer.
The only thing we're missing is a lead vocalist.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got the personality for it.
But I can't sing.
But you can't sing.
I feel like I could be a rock singer, though. Those guys can't really sing. I feel like rock singers have the least amount of pressure on them singing, at least. Fair or no?
I don't know.
I feel like the rest of the instruments are so loud, like you don't really have to hit the notes as much.
It's probably true.
Yeah. It's the way I've always viewed it, at least.
I mean, yeah, you don't have to be like Aretha Franklin up there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like it's just not you and your microphone up there.
Yeah.
Although Aretha
had a hell of a horn section behind
it. Yeah. She could, I mean, obviously she could outshine it, and obviously she was the talent.
Probably the greatest singer ever.
Cam, can you sing?
Maybe.
Thumbs down from Cam. Can't sing.
I like to think I can sing like some backup vocals.
Okay. I guess I could take some lessons. Is it too late?
I feel like I'm
almost 30. I turned 30 in March, so like I feel like it's getting too late for me to get good at singing.
We've joked around about it, but I think seriously it would be a lot of fun. Like if we got a band together.
Where are you guys going to practice?
Here. We can practice here.
Where?
In here. The sound doesn't get out of this in the lobby.
There's no room.
Well, no, in the lobby, maybe.
There's no room to set up a full band.
There's enough room for a garage.
I got that spare workshop right now we haven't renovated yet.
You ever heard of a garage band?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I have a whole section you could set up and practice there. I'll only charge you guys $25 an hour.
I'm honestly kind of serious about it. I don't know.
Does Houston still have his drums?
I'm sure Houston's got a drum set. Yeah, I don't know if we could get everybody on the same page, you know, but if we could...
We need a manager, Cam. You could be our manager.
We could practice. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Okay. I mean,
you've got the person. The,
I can't
the
sing.
Perfect. No, but you have the perfect lead vocalist personality.
But I have to be able to sing. By perfect lead vocalist mentality, personality, you mean I'll just like yell at you guys and like blame you guys when things go wrong?
Yeah,
and I'll you be the talent and just.
You are the exact replica of a lead vocalist.
All right, I'll just yell at you guys and.
I'm the one writing all the bloody songs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, I'm in.
You just got to learn to sing.
Just come set up at the at our little workshop we have at the house.
That's the thing. We can all learn together. There's no pressure.
It's true.
There's no pressure. We're all friends.
Okay.
We learn how to play together. That's what you two did.
We already have a roadie and Bear. He's our roadie.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
groupie cam, roadie. There's a difference.
Yeah, there is a big difference.
Big difference. Groupie's Rick. Roadie's Bear.
Imagine when we get some real groupies. I imagine imagine Bear would want to be our manager.
He's the roadie.
Yeah.
He's the roadie. He could do both, I guess.
He could be like our pretend manager.
Okay.
We could get. I'm sure we got somebody that can play keyboards. We could get somebody on keyboards. Ooh. Cam, you play anything?
I looked at Cam, too, but then I feel like maybe I was just looking at him because he's in here.
Yeah. We feel like he should be a part of it somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you play the keyboard, Cam? No.
Cam can't play anything. Maybe backup vocals. Just put a microphone in front of Cam. He can do backup vocals, too.
Yeah.
Anybody can do backup vocals.
That's pretty easy. I can do backup vocals. But I've been cast as the lead singer for some reason. I don't know how this is going to go with me.
Cam will do turkey voices in the background. Yeah. So, anyway, that's something we're working on.
You got a sports story of the day. I'll give you a little bit of time. We'll catch a break. It was nice last night, Cam, to get a board bet victory. I mean, the best part of the show for people should be hour three live read of my bookie because I'm handing out money for you guys. Just handing out money. The Kings easily cashed last night. I mean, they won by four, but it was a weird thing where they were up like 15 with like 2 minutes left, and then the Suns kept hitting threes, and you're like, oh, my God, they're going to blow this. And then the Kings are hitting free throws, and I'm like, okay, six, okay, we're fine. Easy cash last night. Hour three headlines, the live read there. That's where all the money's made. Nice to get a board bet. Sorry your Phoenix Suns let you down, Cam. Cody.
Nah, I was just – I basically just kind of threw one out there just for fun.
Yeah. That's fun.
Just to see if I could get one over on you on the NBA.
And I appreciate it.
It was worth the risk for me. One board bet. I mean, I got a huge lead.
I don't think your lead's as big as you actually think it is.
One minor board bet.
Either way. We'll come back with the sports story of the day. We'll see what Cody comes up with. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. Jonas writes in saying the Cody McClure and the FSK experience. Thought we established that I was the lead singer here. Okay, but either way, CM McClure and the FSK experience. Okay, that's our leading in the clubhouse.
I don't know about that one.
Okay.
I don't know about that one.
Okay.
I think we need I like one-word band names. Just like we just come up with something that's just one word. You know, Kiss, Metallica.
Kiss
things,
is where you start.
Things like that. Well, yeah, I mean.
After you've sat here for years talking about the Rolling Stones and you come
well,
in here and
say, my favorite band.
You prefer one-name bands?
They're my favorite band. I'm just thinking, I like the idea of that
one name.
So you
really name. Just wish they were called Stones?
Well, that's what a lot of people call them.
No, they call them the Stones.
The Stones.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not the Kiss, it's the Stones.
Yeah, but every band, a lot of bands start with
the. Metallica.
A lot of bands start with the, though.
I just gave you two that didn't.
Well, that's why I gave you the examples, Kiss and Metallica. I like that one word, just, who are you going to see this weekend?
It's not the Prince.
Yes, I know. That's enough examples.
The Madonna.
Jesus. Who am I going to
see?
Jesus.
That would have a whole different.
It could be Jesus. Who are you going to see this weekend? Jesus.
I think that one's got a copyright.
Yeah. What's
other meanings.
You think?
I know, probably not.
What's a good, just one word... Who are you going to see this weekend? Just look for objects.
Fan run.
Backpack. Backpack. I'm going to see backpack.
Fan run.
I don't like that.
Okay. Did you come up with a story of the day?
No.
You didn't come up with a story of the day? You were just sitting there thinking of band names and all you came up with was backpack?
Well, I don't know which one to pick.
Just throw one out and let's
Mason
go.
Rudolph says he regrets his actions.
Who cares about that?
Okay. The college football playoff top four ranking is out.
Okay, was there any big shakeup there that you care rankings. About?
No. No, LSU is at the top again, number one.
Yeah, and the only shakeup I saw was really that Oklahoma moved up to number nine. Baylor falls out of the top 10 to 14. Minnesota falls two spots. They're now behind Penn State despite beating Penn State heads up. Although I agree, I do think Penn State's a better team than Minnesota. I think if they played in Pennsylvania, in Happy Valley, that Penn State would beat them by 17 or so. So, I mean, like, I do think that Penn State is better than Minnesota, but I just think that's funny how they rank them ahead of them despite the head-to-head victory and both teams having one loss. So, yeah, I guess the big headline right now is that Bama hasn't been punished yet. They are number five in the playoff ranking. LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Bama. That's your top five. Oregon, Utah, Penn State, Oklahoma, Minnesota. That's 6 through 10.
Tennessee is not ranked.
Tennessee is not ranked. No, that is correct.
Although, when you look down, Auburn has three losses at number 15.
We have five.
I know. But Iowa, 7-3. Oklahoma State, 7-3.
Yes.
Iowa State, 6-4. USC, 7-4.
Yes.
There are two four-loss teams in. I can't help but think, like, if we had just beaten Georgia State and BYU, we're ranked right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, if Tennessee was 7-3, they'd be ranked.
Definitely ranked. Probably inside the top 20. It's a damn shame.
It is.
What it is.
And that's a shame.
Yeah, so they didn't punish Bama for the loss of Tua.
Well, they said they're just judging by games now, and you know Alabama still beat Mississippi State. What was it, 38-7 or something like that?
Yeah.
So like, there's nothing to punish them for yet. Like that was just as of now a typical Alabama game or a typical top ranked team playing a lower ranked team. You win by 30, you coast. Like Mac Jones probably would have gotten in that game in the second half anyway. So like. So far, they don't have to judge Alabama without Tua. However, I mean, I guess they don't have to judge them this week either because Alabama's playing a loser team, right?
Some scrub, yeah.
Yeah, all they have is Auburn, so like, it's just going to be the Auburn game. So, I mean, theoretically, what happens if Alabama comes out and beats Auburn by 17 with Mac Jones?
I think it's going to take more than 17.
Okay.
But I think if they make a statement like – I always think back to that Ohio State win over Wisconsin, 59-0.
Yep.
Bama's not going to beat Auburn 59-0. But if they make a similar statement, like a 41-10 or something like that.
You think they're going to have to beat Auburn that badly? As someone who came on here, and you know everyone who listens to the show knows, like you've been an Alabama fan for a long time, and you've been saying this, you know, last couple
tired
weeks,
narrative.
Alabama is going to make the playoff.
I said it before they lost Tua.
Well, I understand,
now I'm
like,
not so sure.
Is there enough of a room? Like, if what the committee said is true and they're like, hey, we're not going to judge them harshly without Tua, we're going to look at their body of work, and they come out and they beat Auburn on the road by, you know, 14, 10, maybe even just 7. Is the narrative that much different around the overall team of Alabama?
I think the narrative's a lot different if they make a statement over Auburn. Because here's the thing.
So they have to make a statement.
The team right behind them played Auburn and lost.
Yep.
Alabama needs that to be in the committee's mind. They need to say, look, we have the best loss. We lost to the number one team. Oregon lost to the team that we just beat by 21. That's what Alabama needs to be able to say. Especially with Oregon coming off a Pac-12 title win over Utah. That's Bama's hope.
They've gone out of their way and talked about how championships are going to matter. Conference championships matter. So I just keep thinking like this is not going to work out in Alabama's favor, and it makes me very happy. And it continues the downfall. At what point does Alabama start freaking out, in your opinion?
I think they're starting to freak out.
Like if they miss the playoffs, like, and you're following the timeline, and you're like, hey, got dominated by Clemson. Got handled by LSU even with Tua. Missed our first playoff. I don't know if you've looked at the recruiting rankings. I've got them pulled up right now. Alabama's number 3.
Oh, no. Oh, God, number 3?
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you're just looking
at... What a drop.
If you're just looking at the top of the top, like, Clemson has double the amount of 5-stars as Alabama. Which I don't know if Alabama freaks out about that, but, like, it does seem as if... you know, in years past when Alabama would be clearly at the top, it does seem like they're not going to be able to catch Clemson in the recruiting rankings this go-around.
Mm-hmm.
LSU also ahead of them. They're not number two. They're not even number one in the SEC. or in the West in their own division. So I do wonder, like, are we seeing the cracks? Are the cracks starting to even get bigger? I've been pushing that. I think that you've seen them get beaten head-to-head by, you know, quality opponents their last two tests against those teams.
I think there's been a little bit of an overreaction.
Am I overreacting by pointing out that, like, hey, they got half the amount of five stars as Clemson?
No, I mean, that's just a fact.
Right, but am I overreacting by pointing it out in on November 20th and acting as if only having 3 5 stars is a bad thing for Alabama?
I don't know, because the thing with this Alabama team, they're very young on defense. And they don't have the elite.
They are very young on defense, but are they not old on offense?
I'm not sure if they're.
I just mean, like, if you just look at Tua and the receivers. I mean, their best things about their team are Tua and the receivers, and those guys are all old, right?
At least Judy
and Tua.
I'm pretty sure those other guys have been there quite a while, too. Maybe Devonta Smith is a freshman.
I think one of them's young.
I think Devonta Smith is young. But anyway, I just think that this is maybe a little bit of a down year for them. Like, I don't think Alabama's going anywhere until Saban retires. I think there's still going to be people wanting to come play for him. They're going to host these recruits. They're going to show them all the championships. Now, LSU and Clemson may be getting more of a share of them now. Maybe that's what we're starting to see. But does that not equate to a
no, they're all juniors. Judy Ruggs and Devonta Smith, all juniors.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Bama only has 9 seniors on the roster.
Yeah.
I mean, it may equate
to... that stat's a little overrated to me, Cam, because their juniors go pro. So, like, only having seniors don't really matter because your juniors are all going to go pro.
Right.
And, you know, your 3 best offensive players outside of Tua are all juniors. And I would imagine they all have high draft grades already, at least, like...
They're all going to the NFL.
First 3 rounds type of thing, and... I don't know. Maybe Tua – is there a world where Tua comes back to school and takes advantage of having a year of eligibility left? But even then, like, I don't know if he plays all of next year. If I'm him, I might stay in school, but, like, it's just to train and take advantage of the facilities. But I don't think he's going to play. So we're going to see a transition on their offense, and it's possible that Alabama could finish this season with 3 losses. Right? I mean,
if they end up in the Sugar Bowl, they're probably not going to be wanting to play that game.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, it's possible that they lose to Auburn on the road, and then they then turn around and lose their bowl game and have 3 losses. And, like, having a, you know, you talk about the defense being young, sure, but is it fair to say I don't have as much confidence in Alabama's defense lately?
That's fair to say, but it's a young defense.
No, I mean, even going back to last year, was it young last year too? Because their defense wasn't very good last year either.
Yeah, they got dominated by. I mean, Clemson's offense put up 40 something points on them.
Was that a narrative? Was that a narrative all year for them? The defense
last year, the defense not being
as good
last year.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Because I remember, like, I think it was 2017 where they could have, like, won a bunch of games by you know, not even scoring on offense.
I'm pretty sure they rolled in all their regular season games.
Yeah, they're looking back at their schedule. They didn't give up many points to many people. They gave up 31 to Arkansas and then, like, 28 to Georgia, and then Oklahoma and Clemson obviously scored on them. But, you know, I don't think of them as the same level on defense without Kirby Smart and Jeremy Pruitt.
I think maybe we're overreacting to
okay.
They we're still talking about a 9-1 team that lost to the number one team in the country.
I look at them as just another elite team now, though.
Just another elite team?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the days of them just being the back-to-back-to-back champion every year are probably over.
I think the days of them being the favorite going into the season are over. Like, I mean, I think it was over this year whenever Clemson was either at least listed as a co-favorite. Like, I think those days are gone for Alabama. I don't know how LSU is going to reload with their quarterback, you know, with Burrow going pro. Like, I don't know if this offense is all of a sudden going to just be elite every year for LSU. I mean, they do have the talent every year, right? LSU always has the receivers. They always have the linemen. It's just they never had the quarterback. So maybe Joe Burrow opens up a new wave of LSU quarterback talent, and maybe Alabama's not only not the favorite in the country, maybe they aren't even the favorite to go to Atlanta.
I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think this is a special year for LSU. I think Burrow's a special player.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to be able to sustain that kind of success.
So if we're just sitting here right now, year out, and you're saying Alabama winning the West next year?
Yes.
Alabama winning, getting LSU next year?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be my guess a year out. I don't think there's some massive changing of the guard happening or something. I think as long as Nick Saban's there, they're going to be the best in the SEC. Kirby can't beat him. Coach O has shown he can beat him, and I love Coach O being able to get his players motivated, but I think he's got a really, really, really good quarterback. And I don't think they're going to be able to keep that up for multiple years of, you know, 11, 12, 13 win seasons.
Okay.
They'll be good, but I think this LSU team's special.
Okay. As we sit here today, I think I would pick LSU next year. Just right now, blind, you tell me.
Put it on the board.
Okay, I'm putting it on the board. 2020, I'll take LSU and Baton Rouge. This will be next year's board bets, though, just for the standings record. Go ahead and lock it in. I'll take LSU to win in Death Valley.
I think we're all overblowing the that Alabama's done.
Again, I'm not saying they're done.
I think that narrative is being perpetuated by a lot of people who are tired of seeing Alabama win.
I understand it's hard for you to see Alabama and Nick Saban start sliding. I understand it's tough.
Can you just stop? Just stop.
I get that it's tough.
Nobody believes that.
But it happens. It happens.
I'm not.
It happens.
Nobody believes that.
Everyone starts sliding eventually.
I'm telling you, it's a
tired
narrative.
Tom Brady can't complete a four-yard pass anymore, bro.
What does that have to do with it?
Just that everyone eventually, like, time catches up with everybody and everyone's time comes. This might be the time for Alabama.
Tom is like the antithesis of time.
Not this year.
You ever heard of Tom versus Time?
Mm-hmm. That came out 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not
He's
this year.
He's still fighting time.
He's not. 2019. I haven't seen that documentary pop up this year as he's throwing four-yard passes into the dirt. I haven't seen it.
Well, we'll see what happens in the playoffs.
We shall.
When it matters.
We shall.
I think you should have more respect for greatness.
I'm going to say that I'm going to guess that the Patriots will find a way to win through their defense.
That's
like,
the difference.
They did in the Super Bowl, yet somehow we all gave the credit to Tom Brady for them scoring 13 points.
The difference between the
right?
way
I mean,
you...
Right, I mean, before we move on to the difference between me and whatever, like we acknowledge they scored 13 points in the Super Bowl, right?
Yes, they scored 13 points. Did you see what they scored the year before? They put up a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one game. It's a one-game sample.
I understand it's one game, but it's...
It was against a pretty good Rams team.
That's our last data point.
Have we thought about maybe the Rams had a good defense, too? Maybe
Not
Aaron
really.
Donald's the best defensive player in the game?
Sure, but like, I don't think anyone came in there thinking the Rams had a shutdown defense.
We thinking Aaron Donald just didn't impact that Patriots offense at all? I'm saying the difference between the way you and I look at sports is that I respect greatness and you don't. You're always looking for the next up-and-comer. I respect those who've done it, that have done it.
Okay.
Because of that, you label me as some sort of bandwagon Alabama fan, Patriots fan. It's ridiculous. It's asinine. I respect what I've seen them do. It's ridiculous what they've done.
I will never.
I'm basking in the greatness.
Cody,
eventually, it will be over.
I will never accuse you of rooting for losers. I will never accuse you of not rooting for winners and rooting for
Who
greatness.
Is my favorite college football team?
Alabama.
Why am I in this city? Why would I be in this city?
Because your dad went to school here and you wanted
He didn't.
Oh, well, your dad's a fan of the school and you wanted to go make him proud.
That was part of it, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But so, I grew up.
There's your answer.
Coming to games here. I am a Tennessee fan.
Okay.
I have the ink to prove it.
Okay. Sound a lot like Trey Wallace.
He doesn't have a tattoo. Now, I am a little bit ashamed that I, at a young age of 18, got a college school logo tattooed on me. Yes, I am a little bit
at a less than professional tattoo parlor.
That
I
was
believe.
Before I became a real professional.
Yeah.
So, but
did that get like one of your friends got out of prison or something and wanted to show you what he had learned?
My Uncle Dave just escaped from prison. I don't know if you saw this morning the guy running across the UT Medical Center parking lot.
Yeah.
That's Dave. He could drop in sometime today. I don't know.
They caught him.
They already,
I don't know if they did.
They already got him.
I don't know for sure if they did.
No, they have. He's caught.
They might have gotten a different guy.
They might have gotten the wrong guy.
Yeah.
He had
just
a patsy.
Another criminal.
Way to ruin it. I was going to bring Dave back today.
Well, Dave's your cousin.
He's going to have him
uncle,
come back.
So you'd already ruined it.
He's going to have him come back. He's my uncle and my cousin. Dave is whatever Dave needs to be.
Dave's in prison. He's back. They got him. The sentence is going up now.
We'll see.
So, are you still in on Alabama making the playoff? Is that the long and short of this? Or
this year?
Out? Yeah.
I think they need a decisive win over Auburn.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking if they're in or out.
I can't predict the future. I mean,
okay.
I'll tell you this. If Utah beats Oregon, Bama's in. Because they're not putting Utah in over Bama. They would put Oregon as a Pac-12 champion in, I think, over Bama if Bama does not have a decisive win over Auburn. And this, of course, is also assuming LSU beats Georgia, which they will. I think it's 50-50.
Okay. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Proceed.
Checking out CBS Sports' mock draft on the NFL since we're kind of talking about that. Joe Burrow, number one. Two of those Alabama wide receivers projected in the first round. You got Judy as high as number three, and you get Ruggs at number 14. Tua still projected to go number 31 to the New England Patriots. So maybe you squeeze one more year out of Brady as Tua gets to rehab with an NFL team. And, you know, if Tua's still going to get drafted as a first-round pick, then obviously the thing I said about Alabama, him going back to school potentially to rehab, that goes out the window. I think if Tua was going to, like, drop out of school and then take a year off to, like, rehab to get ready for the draft in 2 years, then I think he would just be better off staying in school. But if he's still going to be a first-round pick, then, yeah, you still go out. And, you know, for a team like the Patriots or a team at the end of the first round, he's probably worth a flyer because you get the fifth round, the fifth-year option on him anyways, so he can rehab and get ready for a year and learn the playbook and everything, and then you'll still have 4 years of it.
So
he's still going to be a first-round pick, but that would be pretty perfect if the Patriots took him and stashed him.
None of these bad teams with bad quarterbacks are going to take a risk on him at the top of the first round?
I don't think you can at the top of the first round. Not with a busted hip, not with the injury history he has, not the way Nick Saban and Alabama's tried to run him into the ground. I don't think you do. I think if you are, you know, let's just look at the top of the first round, the Bengals, Redskins, Giants, Dolphins, Jets, Buccaneers, Broncos, like that, those top seven, and we'll even throw the Falcons in at top eight. I think you have so many more other glaring needs that you either take a different quarterback like Joe Burrow, obviously, or you just build your team up and hope he's there in the second round. Or, you know, you could also have the potential of doing what the Ravens did and trade back in at the end of the first round and get him there. But, no, I don't think you could draft him high with a busted-up hip. The same injury that, you know, kind of ruined Bo Jackson.
Yeah, but didn't Bo Jackson keep –
He kept playing on it. He kept playing on it. He was playing running back. It's a little bit different. He didn't let it rehab as long as he needed it to.
I mean, Tua's immediately, they figured it out, and
sure,
know, he's had the
but
surgery.
I'm just saying it's a serious injury. Like, when you have your hip dislocated the way he has, it's a serious thing. Especially when you combine that with the other ankle and foot issues he's had.
Yeah. I think he's still going to be a good quarterback. I mean, I think he's an NFL quarterback.
Oh, no, I think if a team takes him at the end of the first round, especially, like I said, someone with a good infrastructure like the Patriots, then it's a steal.
End up getting like Lamar Jackson.
I wouldn't even have that big of a problem if the Titans took him at, you know, the middle of the first round. Although I don't know if the Titans are going to jump back in bed with another Hawaiian quarterback that's kind of injury prone.
To a Titan.
Yeah, like I don't know if, like, after what happened to Mariota, like, if they'll go down that road again. It's kind of like how Tennessee can never hire Louisiana Tech's coach again, right? I mean, there was some talk about trying to hire their basketball coach with Mike White and trying to maybe go talk to them in the last football search. And I was just like, nope, can't hire anybody from there or Cincinnati ever again.
It's kind of weird, though, from a different sport that we couldn't.
Just, it is what it is, man.
I think that's weird.
Did you see the last update?
On who?
The latest update, I guess I should say, in the NFL.
Mm-mm.
apparently Philip Rivers says he would, quote, love to play for the Titans.
I would love it if he played for the Titans, too. I think it'd be hilarious.
It's too late. I wanted Philip Rivers really bad 2-3 years ago. It's too late now.
Why did he say that? Is he trying to get out of L.A.?
I think everyone knows he's getting out of L.A. His contract's over after this year.
Move the family to Nashville and a
move him back
school
closer
bus.
To the South. I mean, he's from Alabama, so he.
Yeah, I'm out on Philip Rivers.
Like Nashville would be pretty close.
I'm
obviously.
Out. I'm out.
I'd rather just stick with Tannehill. If you had told me this 2 years ago, or even maybe at the beginning of the year, I'd have been all in on it. But
I'd rather stick with Mariota after what I saw Philip Rivers do the other night.
Yeah, unless Philip Rivers like shuts it down right now and like, hey guys, I'm hurt. I have to have this little shoulder surgery here, or something like that. And he sells me on injury, then maybe I'll listen. Otherwise, no, I'm good. I'm good on that. Talk Sports is powered by Lloyd's Electric Service, the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance infrastructure, and commercial building services. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. Stick with us. Talk Sports.
Hi, I'm...
Do you think we'll see a change in the quarterback position in the NFL over the next couple years? Do you think we've already seen it? Do we think we'll see it in the draft?
Are you meaning less guys that look like Peyton Manning and more guys that can run around and make plays with their legs?
Yeah, I think if you went through the top five NFL quarterbacks, can't they all make plays with their legs right now?
I think we're already seeing that.
But, do you think it's going to spill over in, the draft evaluations? Because it hasn't happened so far yet. I know we've seen it at the quarterback position, but, we're 2 years removed from Lamar Jackson going, fifth overall in terms of quarterbacks behind guys like Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and, Josh Allen can run around. But there was four quarterbacks taken ahead of Lamar Jackson. So we've seen it at the position of who's been successful, but we haven't seen it necessarily in the draft so far.
Yeah, and look Mitch Trubisky was taken over.
I would say Mitch Trubisky could move around. He was athletic, but it was just we diminished what the other guys could do with their athleticism. And who knows, maybe there was also the stigma of they're not white type of thing. Because, I don't know what else you could look at and see that you thought Mitch Trubisky was better than Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. But I'm just not going to downplay or discredit Mitch Trubisky's athleticism because he can run around. I don't think he's as good of an athlete as Mahomes and Watson, but he's a good athlete.
Is it more important still to have a guy that can throw at the highest level than it is to have a guy who can throw just under that and be athletic? Because here's the thing. In today's game, would you rather have Peyton Manning or Lamar Jackson? Just based on how today's game is.
I think everyone would still say Peyton Manning.
Right. So the ability
to have Eli.
Well, my point is the ability to pass at the highest level is probably still the number one attribute, right? So let's say
yes.
If you've got a quarterback that is a 90 rated passer and he can't move at all, you can have him or you can have a quarterback that is rated 78 pure passer, but he can move all day. I think you still take the guy that can throw the ball the best.
I think if you can get a 90, sure.
Yeah.
Like a Peyton Manning.
But that's the elite of the
but
elite.
I think that's about the – yeah, I don't know how far the cutoff is down. Like I said, Eli Manning, no. You know what I mean? Eli looks like an NFL quarterback is supposed to look, but
there's not as many of those guys today, it doesn't seem.
No, I guess to the NFL's credit, 2018, I think we'll look back and say, how the hell did Lamar Jackson go behind these guys? But, you know, number one last year, number one overall pick, Arizona said, hey, we're going to take the guy who can move around and can throw the ball. We don't care about his height. We're going to take Kyler Murray. You know, I feel like 3 or 4 years ago, you'd have seen Drew Lock be a first-round pick just because he looks like an NFL quarterback, right?
Which is ridiculous.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, I think you would have seen him get drafted in the first round. Last year, he was a second-round pick. You did see a team like the Giants look at Daniel Jones and say, this is how a quarterback's supposed to look. We're going to take him.
How's that working out?
I don't know. He's got a handful of games already with four touchdowns. So, I mean, he's had some really good games and some stinkers. So, I'm not going to throw Daniel Jones out just yet.
And he can move a little bit.
He can move a little bit. He's not stiff, but, I mean, I don't think he ranks low in terms of the athleticism when we're talking about these top-level quarterbacks. But
Do you have to have a Lamar Jackson, though?
Like no, you don't have to have a Lamar Jackson.
That's the thing. Even Aaron Rodgers can move a little bit. Not now like he used to, but,
sure.
You know, in his prime. And he's still, I mean, pretty good, but he could move some.
Yeah, but I think he is at the upper level of quarterback accuracy, though.
Well, I know, but
so we're talking about the Peyton Mannings. Like he's got the same accuracy as Peyton. Like Aaron Rodgers can throw target for target with Peyton. He just had the athleticism on top of it. Now maybe the difference there is Peyton Manning could run and orchestrate an offense on the fly, and Aaron Rodgers hasn't really shown the ability to do that at the same level, either because of the coaching of Mike McCarthy or just he doesn't.
Maybe he doesn't watch enough film.
I don't know. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers eats, sleeps, and breathes football like Peyton Manning did. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just he has other interests. Like he likes history. He'll go in Jeopardy and do like those types of things. He likes, you know, you
Game
saw
of
him
Thrones.
Give his Game of Thrones takes nonstop. I don't know how much Game of Thrones Peyton would have been watching during the season. So is Aaron Rodgers as studied as that? Probably not. But I mean, as far as accuracy goes, yeah. I mean, he can. Knock the same targets over that Peyton could.
I'm thinking about Peyton Manning watching Game of Thrones. There's some accuracy for you. It's like,
I feel like it's pretty bad Peyton.
It's like Ygritte hitting Jon Snow with the arrow. I just feel like he would say something dorky.
Yeah.
You know, something like, I can't do a Peyton voice, but how do you do a Peyton voice?
I don't know.
Hey, Brad. Hey,
more.
Brad.
No,
play Nationwide
too country,
for me.
Too country.
Hey, Brad.
And more mumbly.
Hey, Brad. Hey Brad, play Nationwide. No, that's too strong.
Nationwide.
Well, he's got a little Southern in there.
Your side.
Nationwide is on your side.
Maybe a little bit.
No, that's not enough.
I can't do voice impressions.
I can do a few, but not like
you struggled the last couple of days.
Yeah,
you need to work on them privately off the air.
I like to just work through it on the air usually.
But when they sound bad,
this is my practice time. When else am I?
When is the performance time?
On the air too.
Okay.
When else would I practice though?
Just
I have to have a live audience to practice, so that I can
out
get
the
feedback
lobby after the show. Me and Cam will tell you. Maybe get to the show 15 minutes early, and we'll run through it in the 15-minute dress rehearsal.
I need feedback from a live audience, and it doesn't get more live than this right here.
I mean, it does because there's no technical live audience like right in front of us.
There are millions of people that are hearing us talk right now.
Yeah, but they're not. They can't give us instant feedback. If they're
on the
Periscope, they're a minute behind.
Well, it's pretty instant. I mean, Twitter or, you know, other platforms.
I understand, but
they tell
just,
us pretty quickly. Not,
you said it doesn't get much more live than this.
Nationwide is on your side.
Bunch of people.
I think it's got to be a little Nationwide.
So
it's got to have
a little
more. It's got to have a little Mr. Mackey in it.
Got to mumble a little bit.
Okay. I kind of sound like Peyton Manning as Mr. Mackey, okay? Now, listen, kids. Now, I called you into my office to tell you that bullying is bad, okay? And this is a little bit like Peyton Manning, but maybe a little slower, so Peyton Manning's a little more. Hey, Brad, why don't you let me throw a pass to you? I got to work through it.
Tone back on the Mackey a little bit. That's
yeah.
What you
but it's got a little Mackey
too
in
much
it.
Mackey.
Yeah,
it's got a little Mackey.
Too much
in.
There.
Yeah, too much Mackey.
Yeah.
Kind of like how yesterday you had a little bit too much Pruitt in your dually.
In my dually.
Yeah.
Yeah, dually's kind of a hard one.
Yeah.
Speaking of dually, you know, he's a big World War II guy. Have you seen this new
show?
Aaron Rodgers. Is he? Well, then this is on topic.
Yeah.
This is on topic. I watched the first two episodes last night of the have you seen the new Netflix show about the World War II?
I've seen people talk about it, but I haven't watched it yet.
It's the first two episodes are very good. I watched the Blitzkrieg and the Battle of Britain last night.
Okay.
And next up, I think I got Midway and the Stalingrad thing.
Is there more to the story or just you telling us that you watched it?
I've just been watching it.
Do you want a congratulations for watching documentaries?
I don't think a congratulations is necessary for watching television.
Wow, Cody, you're so deep and well-read and just educated now.
I feel like I'm going to be by the time I get through with this. I feel like you can ask me pretty much anything about World War II and I can explain it to you.
Okay.
Ask me about the Battle of Britain.
I'll have to familiarize myself with the Battle of Britain. That way, if I'm asking questions, I'll know if you're telling me the right
answer.
You
should ask me a question about the Battle of Britain and see if I can answer it.
Okay.
Based on what I saw yesterday.
Okay.
I'll pull some up.
Okay. Yeah. Cam will get the questions ready. But I do think that's kind of why you saw some teams and, you know, they've had the option for the last couple of years. And I don't want to, you know, say the buzzword that's going to make everybody get upset, but I do think that's why you saw seven teams show up for the Kaepernick tryout. Because I do think you're going to have teams desperate for more athleticism at the quarterback position.
Because
I think if you look at the top five quarterbacks right now, name them off. Who are your top five quarterbacks right now?
Russell Wilson.
One.
Lamar Jackson.
Two.
I guess I'll throw Mahomes in there when he's healthy.
Three. I'd put Dak Prescott in there as well right now.
Just based on playing quarterback.
This year.
I think you got to put Dak in there.
Yeah.
And then.
Four athletic, mobile quarterbacks. Four best guys in the league right now.
They, based on how they're playing, I think they're the four best guys. Then I don't know who you'd put in after that.
I don't either.
There's
right now.
Rodgers, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few different Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I mean, just based on the way he's playing.
I'm not disagreeing.
There's a few different guys you could put in there.
But I think the four
not
you mentioned,
Goff.
To me, the four you mentioned are the four best right now. So, you know, maybe you'll see teams start looking around like, we got to break the mold a little bit with the quarterback position and maybe. If we do get those guys, not be afraid to build offenses around them like they have for Lamar Jackson.
Well, are there going to be guys?
You could even throw Deshaun Watson in there, although I wouldn't because I don't think he's very. I don't think he's on that level.
He thought he was pretty good last week. Are there some guys?
It's just a bit, bro.
You're pretty confident.
It's just a bit. You know I hate the Texans. Come on.
Yeah. Are there some guys?
Reading some radio.
Yeah, of course. Are there guys in this draft class that are going to be drafted that are like those guys?
I don't know.
I think because Burrow's
got some athleticism to him.
Yeah, but he's not like those guys.
No, but he's got athleticism. He can get he's not. Am I wrong? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong because it's been a while. But is he far off from Dak in terms of athleticism and being able to run the ball? The way Dak ran in college, I know Dak ran more power with Mullen, but I mean, I feel like Burrow's got a similar skill set to him in terms of athleticism.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe not as fast on the top end speed.
Well, and he doesn't get used as much as
Dak.
That's
what I'm saying. Like they use Dak as a battering ram.
Dak had a ridiculous amount of rushing yards.
Right, but I'm just saying, like in terms of when Burrow gets out to pick up first downs, and they do run quarterback draws with him.
Yeah,
is that a far off comparison from what Dak was in college?
I don't think so. Burrow's kind of like a Tebow, but better.
Why can't we just make him Dak?
Let's make him Dak.
Yeah. We can
like
make
Tebow,
cross-racial comparisons. I mean, how is he like Tebow? Because he's white. He throws the ball a million times better than Tebow.
I think I said it.
And doesn't run like a battering ram like Tebow did.
I think I said it because he's white.
Okay.
Because you were talking about Dak Prescott, and I was thinking.
I think he's closer to Dak.
Well, Mullen, you know Mullen's quarterbacks.
Mullen tried to use.
Tebow, Prescott.
Sure. But he tried to use Dak like Tebow, but Dak could throw better than
Tebow. Yeah, Burrow's more like Dak, but Burrow's white. So I was thinking Tebow also – Tebow happens to be white.
Same skin tone.
You can imagine. Tebow is very white, actually.
Yeah, about as white as it gets.
The whitest person maybe of all time.
That didn't, like, grow up in Utah.
Yeah, because those folks
those
there –
Those guys are extra white.
They're pretty white.
Yeah. They're extra white. Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports. Be back on the other side.
The ninth annual OE.